It's time for the Killjoys After Show. We are talking The Hullen Have Eyes. Stick around.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello and welcome to the Killjoys After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. If you haven't already, go to youtube.com/AfterBuzz TV. Hit subscribe. We're also on iTunes, SoundCloud. Subscribe in all the places. I'm your host, Yael Teagle. I'm joined by my lovely panel. Hello, boys.
So lovely.
You're both so lovely. We have Zach here.
Hey, guys. Thanks for tuning in. You can find me, Zach Wilson, at everywhere on the internet at that Zach Wilson.
And you guys can find me online at Stephen Lemieux, S-T-P-H-E-N-E-L-E-M-I-E-U-X.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm Yael Teagle. That's Y-A-E-L-T-Y-G-I-E-L. Let's jump into this episode.
Wait, before we jump into this episode, can we jump into this episode?
No, we're going to jump into this episode.
Okay.
What is happening?
I don't know. I don't know what episode you want to jump into.
I love segues. I just wanted a segue.
Okay, we're going to start with...
I am blinded by the insanity that's happening here.
I thought you were going to say you're blinded by the light.
Revved up like a deuce.
Thank you.
You know the rumor in the night.
Okay. I want to start with Johnny being back with the reclamation agencies. He is a RAC agent. We have him going face-to-face with Banyan.
Telling you she's not Hullen.
You don't think she's Hullen?
She's not Hullen. This scene proves it. They could have glossed over this scene. They could have made it a line or two from Dutch being like, it's already that she has us on our back because you... come back randomly. Like, they could have just... they literally could have brought him back
was
into the
that
team.
You're Dutch?
No, yeah, I guess.
Okay. Kind of.
They could have brought him back with just, like, an offhanded line. But they gave us a scene between him and Banyan. And
Banyan, right?
Developed her character a bit more because there's the playfulness. It gives you the political edge between, like, Johnny and Banyan, which is nice. And... I still think she's going to be a good guy because he pitched that to her and she was just like, what are you talking about? This is more of a Turin's just random bullcrap. Mm. Like, this will work with Turin, but not me. So I really think she'll be on their side in a few episodes.
Okay. Do you think she's Hullen still?
No.
Damn,
there's just there was something. I mean, it didn't feel that way. Like, there was nothing. If she is Hullen, they're playing it like very, very subtle. Like, this scene. Gave us no reason to think that she is Hullen. Just based on this scene alone, there was nothing in there.
Fine. All right, so I agree. She's probably
not suspicious.
Hullen. Yeah, but she is trying to kind of go after Dutch. She says, what does Dutch have to do with the missing agents? She wants to know what's going on. I have a feeling that she will finally stumble into this mess and become part of... the team, I guess. I also, if that is the case, would like to see... This is going to sound like a weird prediction, but I'd like to see her and Turin hook up.
Well, here's my prediction for her, right?
Yeah.
I think she's going to set up a sting operation to catch Dutch with her hands tied... Like, her hands red-handed.
Yeah.
And I think, her operation is going to be superseded by something that Anila has set up.
Oh.
And I think that'll bring her into the fold with them. So I think, like, she'll arrest Dutch, but then all hell's going to break loose. All the hellses are going to break loose.
All the hellses.
And that's going to kind of be cool.
Or she sets up a sting operation. She's like, I gotcha. And she kind of winds up pointing a gun at Anila. And she's like,
ooh, that'd be good.
She loses a hand. It grows back. So we find out that Johnny's reinstated. I know. I got it. I got that she's not Hullen.
Wait, who's not Hullen?
Banyan. She's not Hullen.
Oh, I thought you were saying Banyan would shoot off Anila's hand and
grow
back.
No.
Oh, okay.
So Johnny's reinstated. He has to lose the finger banger.
Aww.
Oh, we're not going to get to say finger banger.
I love that line, though. Like, I thought you were just the smart one. No, I'm multitasking. Or just the...
I did really love I'm multitasking.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to blur that in post, Zach. A little bit upset.
Too bad. We're
fans.
Live.
Jesus.
But we also find out that the missing agents, Fancy is calling them the cleansed. I like it. I like that Fancy got a name drop. I would have liked to see Fancy.
Sponsored by Irish Spring. Cleansed.
So that's
making RAC agents disappear since 2057.
Oh, God.
So that's what's going on with the RAC. I want to talk about the new... team member Zeph and Johnny.
Zephod. Beeblebrox? No.
So Zeph is the new character played by Kelly McCormick.
Yeah.
Where have we seen her before?
She was in That's My DJ as a mini, but that's like Canadian.
It doesn't help
Defiance.
Me.
She was Jelena in Defiance.
Did you just
that's
say, but
probably...
that's Canadian?
I think so.
Good job.
either way, I mean, she's fun. She's a fun character.
Okay. I find her real obnoxious as a character.
Just so you know, that's really rude.
Okay.
She's an indoor kid.
I
She doesn't click with everyone else perfectly. But I get. The question of how that is going to work in terms of the dynamic, I don't know.
I think she's going to die, but...
Probably.
I mean, like, yeah, right now she's very fan servicey. Like, we were talking before the show, y'all, you mentioned this, that... Right? Was it you who mentioned this?
I don't
know.
What was it? Let's see if I mentioned it.
Just that, like, her character's kind of built on fan service and seems...
That was what I was talking about.
I did not say that.
Okay. It seems like from outside of this universe.
She is partially there as a little bit of a fan facsimile, in that she's looking at the world through almost feels at times like modernized. Like they're very self-aware with like the nerd.
Yeah.
Of like so the nerd conversation.
I disagree with you guys. That's not what I don't like about her. At all. I think that's fine. What I don't like about her is that when we first met her, right, she was the only person who was not following directions. She was like, I have a goal. I'm going to achieve it. I don't care about the directions that I'm being given. And Dutch said to her, you're going to join our team because you figured these things out. But at that point, you also lost the job originally because you couldn't follow directions. And now you're back on the team. Follow effing directions. When they say don't do this, don't do that, but she doesn't follow directions.
Well, you have to also realize, like, sift through what is the jealousy aspect of it and sift through what's like the actual aspect, because to be perfectly fair, if you're gonna look at it from a third person perspective, as you do when you watch TV shows,
yes,
she did exactly what John Jacoby would have done in that situation. Because if you think about it, she's like, why would she come down? Like, let's get both kidnapped. Great. Awesome idea. Like, she's not wrong in that that's like not like the best course of action. It's just he would have rather her actually had a plan
right. When
she went away. But at the same time, him telling her to come down doesn't really make sense to help him anyway.
I agree with you. What I think if Johnny was still in the ship, he and someone like, let's say Dutch went down, she was like, come down, you know, carefully and whatever, he would be like, I got a plan, and disappear. She just was like, nah, I got something to do. Not, I got a plan. No, I'm going to figure this out. No, I'll be back in a second.
It's coming from a bad place. It's like, it's not coming from a place like, oh, I got this, and you can trust me, so I can do this. It's coming from the place of like, oh, you're trying to come back to the team. Well, this is my spot. I'm going to prove to you that I can do it.
It's all ego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not like, the Kurt Russell ego either.
You got these two little nerds nice just like having a pissing contest about science.
Yeah, but a dumb pissing
contest. But what you were saying, like the difference in that situation is if Johnny says, I'll be right back to Dutch, he has earned that level of trust with her.
Sure. She seems like she ran away.
Yeah, Zeph hasn't earned that level of trust, and so she has to realize that her leaving, as that's going to be interpreted by the rest of her team, appears to be her ditching them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know that she was going to come back, and then they had to react not knowing where she was and not knowing if she was coming back. Johnny leaves. Dutch knows Johnny's coming back. There is that amount, and that affects how they're going to approach the mission.
Yeah, and that's why I don't like her.
Yeah, because if you think about it, like, if you're doing something that's really frustrating, but you can depend on the people who are around you, you're good. But if you're constantly doing something that's frustrating, and you're trying to think about in the back of your mind whether or not they're going to get their shit done, pardon my language, they're going to get their stuff done and do it right, then you're going to be worse at what you have to do.
Well, the way the episode ends is Johnny explaining to her that the job isn't just to be right, it's to protect Davin and Dutch. And he gives her the remnant and is like, it's in your hands now. She just lost your trust, right? Like, She has just proven that she can't, and you're going, here's the most important thing we have from this mission. Earn my trust with it. No, you earn your trust with little baby steps. You don't give her the gosh darn remnant.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of see where this is going, though, because if she takes the remnant, then Johnny can focus on other things, and, like, if you think about it, she's the only team member that Anila doesn't know anything about, that Delcea doesn't know anything about. So giving her the remnant, from a writing perspective, allows them to do stories where Johnny, D'Avon, and Dutch are taken out of the equation or kidnapped or whatever you want to do without the remnant falling into Anila's hands.
Fine.
That's fair.
Stupid fair point.
She's also she's got that weird, like, beautiful mind thing going on. So, like, it makes sense that he give it to her.
I mean, that's sort of the only reason that she's there. Like, from a story perspective, we introduced this character as, like, a replacement character.
No one replaces Johnny.
But I agree, but, like, and then Johnny came back within that episode, so she has to serve a different purpose. Like, there had to be another reason to even involve her in the show. So it has to be something like this.
Or maybe the remnant just vaporizes her when she unlocks it. And that's why Johnny can't.
I predict that Johnny and Zeph will hook up and then she'll die. The Jacoby curse!
Well, that's why I was like, man, I'm glad D'Avon was the one with the blind chick.
We'll get to the blind chick. Calm down.
Her name was Quinn, by the way. She had a name.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, we're building up this little, like, list of people that we've, like, either saved or brought onto the team or whatever, and then stashed away in, like, a drawer, basically.
You mean, like, Fancy and Alvis and Pri?
Fancy and Alvis are just, like, I picture, like, hanging out on the bench, like, ready to go. But, like, everyone, but, like, Clara is, like...
Ollie.
Yeah.
I don't know what she... Ollie. What does she go by now?
Ollie.
Clalia. Okay.
Just to settle this... When we refer to that character,
yes,
is it Clara or
it's
is
Ollie.
It
Ollie?
Ollie.
Okay, so she's Ollie from here forward.
Yes. But what's their ship name? Because I totally ship Clara and Ollie.
They're the same person.
I know, it's that pretty hot.
Real solo.
Anyway,
you know what I mean,
Ollie. But like, so Ollie, we got her. She like we went on a quick adventure with her, and then she's like. She's there, ready to go when we need her. Zeph had her 2-episode adventure with us, and now she's off when we need her.
Oh, you don't think she's going to be involved in the next few episodes? You think she's like off working on?
That's what that said to me.
Yeah, kind of. I think that as well.
I could be wrong, and admittedly, I actually didn't see the next on from this because I watched online. Yeah.
Okay, go on.
So I don't know. I figured she would be just like off on hold basically, and then at the end. So the way if we keep doing that, and we have this little girl who's going to Quinn, who's going to be going with the monks. Like we have this like now this like growing collection of people that are all going to be, I guess, under threat or going to be soldiers in this war.
Okay.
Once Anila and the Hullen arrive.
Do you think, I just want to ask, do you guys think that Quinn is going to be part of, like, will play another part, or do you think that's the end of Quinn?
She's alive. She's available.
Oh, the blind girl. I thought we weren't talking about her yet, but no.
We're not. I'm going to forget if we don't ask
that. She called D'Avon ugly.
Yeah.
So, pretty sure she's not long for this world.
She thought that I will say that I always think Lucy is beautiful, but she thought that the cargo hold was more beautiful than D'Avon's face.
How funny would it have been if she said that line and then the next thing we see is like her back on the planet and the ship flying off in the distance?
She would deserve that.
I mean, my whole question on that line was like,
what does she have anything to compare to?
Yeah, he's the first person that she's ever seen. There is literally no reference point.
She just thought it would be better. Maybe she doesn't know what faces look like, generally. That's the
She
like,
wouldn't.
Right, but that's what the problem is that in her head a face was something else. Because all she felt was his chin. And what a chin he has.
Could you just get rid of everything but
she's
the chin?
She's just really into chins. I mean...
Can I just sew your chin shut?
Okay.
She didn't have any scars or anything.
No, because Zeph is really good removing sutures.
Correct.
Yeah, no scars. She was adorable.
I got these scars. I didn't because it's the future and I don't get scars.
So let's talk about the ship.
Part pollen.
Let's talk about the ship and the village that we end up in. So Zeph reads the ship for radiation. It seems that the ship has radiation that says that they had moved in the last 3 days. I really liked that we established that D'Avon had no memory of the trip.
Yeah, we got there eventually. Yeah. So
because
it all starting to like click and make sense.
Because up until that point, we were like, what the hell is happening?
Sorry. What was that you said?
Sorry, what the hells? I apologize.
Thank
I
you.
Thought there were more than one.
Appreciate it.
Apologies. So we get to this village, this old-timey village. I was like, I think this is a real place in Toronto. Like, I think this is a real
place. Yeah, I tweeted about it. I'm like, you know what? You can just take any normal place and just put a color filter over it, and suddenly you're somewhere else.
But I also like there and so far in the future that it's old-timey. So we find this 50s training hologram teaching you about how smiling isn't just with your mouth.
For a place that only, like, their only hologram is just all about smiling, nobody was really smiling.
Well, it's not for them.
They're blind. Why are they needing to smile?
Are also, you saying that blind people can't eyes? Be happy, Zach?
No, I'm saying there's the visual, teaching them about the visuals is smiling, unnecessary.
Yeah. I think it's really silly. Well, I guess it makes
sense. I thought
sense.
It was cool. I thought it was kind of cool when the hologram is saying that stuff, because it was like, without them needing to tell you what was going on, as soon as you kind of have her explaining like how to smile and like, oh, you do this to fit in. Like, I thought that was cool because it tells you all you need to know. Without being so on the nose.
I agree. I think it was a really great idea that there is a training camp that teaches Holland how to seem human. I think that's such a clever way to be like, this is how they've infiltrated for so long, is they used to go to this place and hang out with these people who were blind and learn how to be human, and no one would notice that they were awkward. I think that's so clever. I also like that it was all 1950s-y. Like, why is that? Like, they're training the Holland to act like people from the 50s.
Look, I know you've never heard of this planet called Earth, nor this very specific decade, but
we're teaching you to be a 1950s housewife. You don't need to know what that means. You just need to know how to do it.
It's just like they introduce a new like character, and they're like, I'm pretty sure she's Holland. What makes you think that? Well, she's been churning butter for 6 hours now.
She asked me if I wanted my dinner and then gave me a drink. She's very weird.
She's very serious about covering her ankles.
What's happening?
So we find out that this town used to have a field to protect them from radiation. We meet Quinn, who is the blind girl. We meet Yaren, who speaks for the unseeing. We have the guardians. I think this whole built-up philosophy that they have here, this, like, religion that they built with the last seer and the undying and the unseeing. Ugh, I love it. I thought it was so interesting, and I like that it was explained beautifully, and it didn't take two seasons to understand how the roots grew.
I just,
you know what I mean?
I just thought it was really funny that he's called the last seer and they just assume he's blind. Like, you'd think it'd make a lot of sense that, oh, the last seer can see.
Well, I think they know that he can see.
I was surprised they thought they could sneak around like that, because yeah. he took his hood off and was like looking around and like talking to people and making like,
oh, you think that it was weird that they thought
that they thought he was blind too, but because like it's a play on words, because it's seer, but then there's like seer is a religious figure, is an S-E-E-R, is seer.
He was the seer, S-E-E-R.
He was, but in this, it was a play on words because he was supposed to be the last person who could see, the last seer.
Right.
So it was kind of funny that they took it literally.
Yeah.
Or they didn't take it literally.
It was great that he was testing them to see if they were Holland.
I'm gonna gouge your eyes out! Try me, fools!
I think this whole situation was great. And then when we discover that he's cleansed, he's no longer Holland.
He's using that Irish spring.
It's interesting that he didn't know that he wasn't Holland anymore. Like, he had had nothing that showed him.
I think he knew.
No, he didn't know. He didn't realize. Because he wasn't realizing it until she said it.
Like, that was like a shock to him.
Mm.
Because, like,
that he was no longer invincible.
So, I mean, unless you go around, like, cutting yourself, like, the Scarbacks, like, how are you going to really know until you hurt yourself?
I assumed because he was older.
Yeah, but...
Cullen don't age.
Let's just say they probably don't have a lot of freaking mirrors in this place.
That's fair. That is very fair.
It's like, I loved the line when D'Avon was like, did you recognize anything from the video? Never mind.
So freaking funny. So we're looking for Klein's remnant. We know that we're going to find the symbol. When he drew the symbol, she's like, I know this. I was like, did we know that Klein would mark it in an elevated way that she would be able to feel the symbol? You know what I mean? Like, he wouldn't have just painted it on.
Hey, guys, last time I checked, Klein had reasons for everything.
I mean, if he knew that there were all these blind people.
I mean, he wouldn't, though.
Because he didn't want them to find it.
Yeah, and he also, like, left before they all turned blind, right?
He left, and then he knew they would all turn blind.
Look, Klein's real smart. He knew, like, one day Dutch was going to, like, show up here and, like, need one of the, you know, random blind girl's help. And so he's like, all right, I'm going to, like, stay here and, like, paint a few extra layers so that it's a look at that little
bump. What surprises me, though, right? So Quinn was born, and they sewed her eyes shut. First of all, who sewed her eyes shut? Was it a blind person? Because that's terrifying.
Blind people can sew.
Eyes shut?
Yes.
It's not going to be easy. Also, it could have been the seer.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to do an experiment here. Anthony, can you bring in the needle and thread? Zach, so I'm going to close my eyes.
Okay, so first of all, that. But then also, that we've discovered that everyone goes blind by going outside. We did not need to sew her eyes shut to make her blind.
The whole point of that was that it was like a religious thing where
the
children that are born into this are the first thing that they will ever see is the face
of the undying.
The undying, one of their gods.
Sure. Okay.
You know what? That's fair. Actually, oh my God, that's some heavy foreshadowing, yo.
Go on. That the first thing that she saw was D'Avon and his beautiful face. That she misunderstood as not beautiful, but it was.
But, like, let's just say the reason D'Avon's resonating with what Klein did with him and the ships and stuff, maybe he's becoming more and more Hullen.
Oh.
I mean, I don't think that D'Av is like, Hullen. He's like, anti-Hullen. He's, like...
But he is godlike in that, and that he... You know, because he is the
opposite of that. He is godlike. He has powers that nobody else does. He can control the pollen.
Unlimited power.
The plasma.
Whatever it is.
Stop calling it pollen.
It's got too many names.
The green jello. The Ziz.
No, it's not Ziz.
Throwback to the Helix after show.
Okay. It's green Ziz. The green Ziz, but he can control it, whatever you want to call it. He has the ability to control it, so he is godlike, at least in one fashion.
Right.
Yes, he can get injured, but maybe he has some other pieces of it. Maybe he doesn't age.
He really should have been at the Kids' Choice Awards, just controlling all the green goo.
Oh my God.
Nice one, Steve.
Thank you. I didn't think it was.
Slime slam.
I was trying to be positive and encourage you to do more. I'm trying to be supportive. Anyway, so D'Avon is the key to the fleet. Whoa!
Oh my God!
And Klein made it so.
Hey, D'Avon, can you just lock all the ships? Click, click.
Is it that he has to like unlock them? Like he has to go in and be
one
like
one by one.
Beep.
Nah, I think he can just Magneto them.
No, I think everyone's just gonna have to have like something made with his DNA on it. Yeah. Put that through a black light and smoke it.
No. Nope.
So.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
But you finally got absolutely. There? He said his DNA was all over it. All right.
No, but she made a key using
his
DNA. No,
I got it right away.
Uh-huh. Okay. Anything else
gross.
About the ships and D'Avon and Zeph and everything? Because I want to talk about Anila.
I think the ships is like, that's obviously it's the start of their fleet, their army that they're going to be fighting Anila's fleet with. And she has like a huge base with like a ton of other, like, presumably she has the same ships in equal or greater numbers.
It looks like more.
We don't actually know what kind of other space military war like things the Rack may have access to.
Sure.
In theory they would have some fighter ships, right?
Yeah.
But we haven't even I don't think we've seen a a true fightership on this show.
No, because the Rack, they're not fighters. They're peacemakers.
We only see it when it shows any of the ship.
Yeah.
Is it surrounded by all those?
But, like, have we... I think we saw anti-ship, like, defenses when they, like, robbed the bank or, like, when they went to that, like... creepy dude who like lived in like an asteroid or whatever, the collector, ships. the collector. So, but like there were some defenses on those, but I haven't seen like the equivalent of like a raptor.
Mm-hmm. I'm just surprised we haven't. One, I'm surprised we haven't gotten like a solidified like one storyline episode so far. It's all been very the same kind of format with it's like, oh, this group's here and this group's here. And these are the two stories, and let's go back and forth.
You mean throughout the show or right now? Because we're only three episodes.
Yeah, we're only three episodes, but like even last season was very similar.
Yeah.
So like, I'm wondering if we're going to get a bottle episode anytime soon.
That is an excellent question.
I mean, at some point during the season, we'll inevitably have some kind of bottle episode.
So on
hopefully,
that
it's
note,
just Pri with a bottle at his bar. Hey, we're all locked in at Pri's bar. Nice. Lots of fun stuff's happening.
Woo. I mean, we've had bottle episodes for sure. We're just only three episodes into the season. So let's talk about Delsea Kendry and Anila. For a minute, I want to mention this guy, Gander, the senior advisor, who is such a Jelko. I want to punch him in the face. He is, like, I want to say equal to Jelko.
No, Jelko's more of a dick.
What? This guy was so rude to Kendry and, like, forced her on her knees.
Yeah, but she's evil.
It's true that she's evil. I agree.
Like,
I'm not saying she doesn't
deserve it. Until I see him act that way towards somebody who's good, like, so far, like, yeah, he was a dick to her, like, afterwards, but she was being kind of bitchy to him. Like, you will say all of my 18-word-long name.
I'll say it, Kendry of the Nine.
No, there was another step in the middle there.
All right.
Delsea Kendry, like, husband to a murdered wife, father to a murdered son, and I will have my revenge in this life or the next.
Okay.
Sorry. But, like, he had reason to be, like, know your place. He sort of, like, let her go for a little bit before he, like...
No, he's a Jelko.
Either way. But, like, until he acts that way towards, like, a character who's...
Good
and not terrible in all the ways... then I can't call him a Jelko.
He seems the most likely to betray Anila.
Well, yeah, but still, he was being a Jelko.
He seems like he could be. He's like not in charge because Anila could obviously like override him, but that he's like sort of like a Varys, like ruling from the sidelines kind of thing. Like he knows how to control her without her even knowing she's being controlled.
That's fair.
Well, she's like a little girl.
Yeah.
So like she needs somebody to kind of like deal with her outbursts. I love that she's just kind of like super violent though.
Yes. When she finds out that Klein's dead, that tantrum was beautiful.
It wasn't until afterwards where I like realized like, oh no, wait, they're alive.
Yeah, except for the ones that were beheaded or dismembered.
Were a couple of them beheaded?
I mean, that's what Jelko said. New Jelko said.
He said he likes it when she doesn't behead them.
No, he said that they'll all heal aside from the beheaded.
Oh, okay, I miss it. Either way.
So we also find out that Kendry got a transfusion. She's upgraded from the gutter green, as Anila called it. And that in the Hullen, there are people who take orders and those that give them.
So there's a class, there's a caste system within the Hullen, depending on what pool you're from.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that Anila says, we upgraded you, but she said there are those that take orders and those that give them. She didn't tell her necessarily which one she falls into. She may have just alluded that she falls into the giving orders, but...
Oh, I thought it was...
I'm pretty sure it's...
You're right. She didn't technically spell it out, but I thought the implication was very clear.
I think that was the purpose, though, is for Kendry to believe that she is... As she kept being like, we are queens. We will do this. We will do that.
I don't know. I get the set...
Yes?
I think that was just Delsea, like, being, like, crazy manipulative, like, woman just, like, running around here... she is so effective at manipulation.
Was.
I think she still is. I think that I think that she has like the royal Hullen or whatever we want to call
okay.
it. And Anila is such a... I think she basically... She gave Dalsea the royal one because she, like, wanted a friend, basically. She saw Dalsea... Like, the way that she's been, like, dressed up in these royal robes and, like, she's, like, being brought in. The way that Anila treats her is like, you're going to be my new best friend. Come swim with me in my green bath.
But it's like one of those best friends where, like, you're my best friend, but also my servant. Best friend.
Yes, yes.
Yes, I think it was really great when Kendri is trying to play her manipulative game that she's used to doing. You know, she's used to playing politics and she's used to running, you know, Kresh. And I think that she's going to find that she is not able to control or manipulate Anila.
I think that's going to be an interesting balance as we go forward. We're definitely going to see her trying. The question is how effective she's going to be. At the end of this episode, she looked very effective.
I thought they were going to make out.
I think they still will.
Yeah, I mean, I think they still will. I totally thought it was happening this episode. Like, but I guess we'll get there.
I mean, they're both bad guys. I don't, like, necessarily want anything positive for either one of them, but I ship it.
It's positive for us.
This whole, oh, there's two types of Holland. There's the leader Holland. There's the bitch Holland. I just kind of think it's an out for the writers in terms of an end game plan. Because, like, you see that gigantic grid of all these Holland sites. Like, they're not going to send everyone everywhere to shut down these Holland sites. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to view this like a hive mind and taking out the hive mind, like in StarCraft, like killing the Zerg, killing Kerrigan, killing the Queen, makes them unresponsive and not able to coordinate, mm-hmm. then it's like, okay, if we have a target of let's take out the leader Holland branch and then they all lose their leadership, then it's like, okay, now we have a target. Now we have one target as opposed to like, oh, let's just take out all these nests across the galaxy.
I think you're right. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Before we head into any last predictions, I want to announce something very important. Next week, we will be on Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific time.
Wait, why are we on Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific time?
Because most of this panel will be not here because we'll be at Comic-Con. But also, 7 p.m. Pacific time on Monday, we will be back with a guest on Skype. We will have Tom Allison. That's right. Pree will be calling in.
And it looks like it's going to be a great episode for him to be calling.
Yeah, so let's head into predictions so we can talk about what we see in the promo.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV
predictions.
So in the promo, we have Pree's warlordness. The episode, I believe, is called The Lion, the Witch, and the Warlord.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm watching it on silent because I missed it on the actual air.
He looks like David Coverdale.
I'm so excited.
A receding hairline, David Coverdale.
It looks like Johnny is wanted for Dalsea Kendri's death. We have a battle. It looks like a fight between Johnny and Dutch, and Davin meets Anila.
Yeah. I just saw that in front of my eyes. I don't know if you saw my eyes go wide.
So that is the promo for next week. Please make sure you are here next week, Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific time, because we'll have Tom. Any last predictions?
Well, they're talking about Anila in the chat, asking why she's very childlike and why she has outbursts. It's like, she was raised as an assassin by Klein, given everything she wants. She was basically a weapon. You don't raise a weapon the same way you raise...
I think you're wrong.
No?
No, I think she wasn't raised to be a weapon the way that Dutch was. I think Anila was if I recall correctly, was doing science with...
Klein.
Klein, and got stunted in that age because she never grew, and he always treated her like a child.
Yeah, but like she was
She was never raised to be an assassin. I think
you're right, but the thing is, like, you can't say she was stunted in that age because her age was old enough to be more mature than what she is. So, like, she's acting very childlike. Do you think that it's just she was very pampered?
She's acting like a teenager.
Yeah.
I think she could have been 18.
Yeah, I'm willing to grant 18. Like, look, you have a certain amount of like Hannah Joy Kamen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was like
Hannah John
Kamen. John Kamen. I knew I had slipped up on part of it. Hannah John Kamen, is an amazing looking woman. She's not 18, but
she, I think, was 24 when the show started.
Yeah.
Not 18 is my point.
24 and 18 are the same thing.
But my point is, like, I'm willing to buy her if they want to play Anila as 18. Yeah. Like, she's like, I think that's what they're getting at.
I would love to see a little, like, funny skit with her as Anila doing, like, a My Sweet 16. And just, like, freaking out, like, it's the wrong car, just killing everybody. But it's the wrong cake.
I think it's also that she has always been, like, treated like a princess and given everything that she wanted. And so, regardless of age, she's going to act like a child because she was always spoiled.
And it's funny because it's like, it's like the same thing as, like, if you pick up a glass and break it because you're mad, because it's just your things. It's how she views the Hullin.
Yeah.
Because they're just her things.
They're her toys to break.
Ken from Chicago, that I've been arguing for the past 10 minutes about whether or not a slide rule is distinct to an Earth galaxy, which I don't think it is, but he says, I predict D'Avin meeting Anila was a holographic communication like Dutch and Johnny.
Oh.
Oh, it's very possible. Except that he has the ability to like, jump in those ships and just, like, jump wherever.
Yeah.
I could see him, like, fiddling with the controls and then, like, finding, like, home base and clicking it, not knowing what it is.
I could actually see him getting on the ship and just accidentally being like, oh.
It could be that those things can project into, like, her inner quarters or whatever.
Real talk, though, predictions. I think Endgame is Johnny and Anila, and that's how they take out Anila.
Because of the Jacoby curse?
They just hook him up with Anila. He already liked Dutch, but she's not. Hook up Johnny and Anila, and it'll all just work itself out.
I actually foresee Zeff and Anila hooking up. And then also Zeff and Johnny, and then she dies.
Zeff and Anila?
Sorry, I'm just picturing things in my head that I'd like to see. No? Is that not what we're doing?
I definitely could see Anila and Delsea.
That's for sure
going to happen.
In terms of shipping, the only other one that I really see right now is Dutch and D'Avin. Like, maybe we relapse towards that. I'm just saying, like, that's the only one that I could see. I don't think they're going to necessarily go there.
A comfort hug, if you know what I mean. I want to see Fancy and Alvis back with the team.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah.
Right? I like that we are building a team, and I was okay with them being there. We don't need it to always just be the three of them. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, we've built out a large team at this point.
Could be bigger.
So.
Yeah, could be bigger. But I like that we're developing people and then having them in the waysides and not focusing on them too much, though.
Right.
Because I do like that we're staying with the core group of Dutch, D'Avin, and Johnny.
Yeah, as like we can ship, we can add people to the team, like, but just don't ship anyone with Johnny, or we're never going to see them again.
Exactly. I do want to talk about iTunes, because we didn't talk about iTunes.
Yeah.
Please go to iTunes, give us 5 stars, give us a comment, and we will read it on the air. We also, somebody in our live chat said they gave us an iTunes review, but they gave it like when we started the show, but I told them to tweet it at me.
And?
So, at S. Biglow writes, which is Sarah, she's in the chat right now, iTunes review, my go-to podcast. You keep me company on my Monday morning commute. Less than 3 insights. Love traveling the J.
That's a heart, Steven. That's
less
a heart.
Than 3. No, we only provide less than three insights.
I am one point was like, how many insights do we give? I'm so confused. Should we give more? Thank you so much for the review.
Yeah, thank you guys. Yeah, those reviews usually take about 24 hours to show up publicly. But to keep reviewing, it helps people find the panel. Like, if you're a fan of Killjoys and you want other fans of Killjoys to find this show, reviewing is a great way. Share it on, like, be like, hey, friends, listen to this podcast. Do it just like that. Yell at them.
Yeah,
at them to listen or watch.
Tell them that this show has really great cast.
Or join us live most weeks at 5 p.m. on Sundays. Next week at 7:15 p.m.
ish.
On Monday.
Good call.
Pacific time.
Yep. Ivan Soto in the chat says, stop the pauses in D'Avin's name.
It's D'Avin. We're only pronouncing it properly.
Took me 3 seasons, but I've joined them.
Yeah. It's an inside joke, guys. Come on. Like, our podcast can have random things like that.
All right, we're done. Thank you all so much for joining us. Thank you to Davin for tuning in. I know Davin always listens. We'll see you guys next week. Make sure you're here live because we will have Tom Allison Skyping in.
Wait, don't we?
Yes, you guys are the best fans. Can we talk
about that or no? About the one we have afterwards?
Yeah, the one we have the week after that. Can we talk about that?
I don't know. I feel like we should just make them wait a week and come back.
If we talk about it, will we die?
No, we'll talk about it next week, though. Until then, Steve, and everyone can find you at Stephen Lemieux.
No, you can find me at Stephen Lemieux. Stephen Lemieux.
Stephen.
Stephen.
You guys can find me at That Zach Wilson all over the internet, specifically Twitter and Instagram.
I'm Yael Teagle. I'm everywhere at Yael Teagle. That's YAELTYGIEL. And next week I will be at Comic-Con, so keep up with me on social media. And we'll be here Monday night with Tom Allison.
Yay! It's going to be fun!
Bye, everybody.
We like fun.
Do we?
Yeah.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The warrant is all, I think.
To Avin.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.